It is the North Coast BIA Spotlight on Avon, and we are at the Miller Nature Preserve. And joining us this morning, we thought since we're surrounded by so many plants and growing things, we'd invite Charles Benke, our horticulturalist, stopping by. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm great. Can you identify any of these butterflies that are on my necktie here?
Well, I noticed the very top one looks like the imported cabbage butterfly. And it, right in the middle is the monarch butterfly. The other ones, I don't know.
We were looking at, on these plants, Craig, there are little yellow tags that dangle. And they're actually sticky, and they serve a purpose. Tell us about that.
Yes, they're sticky traps. They're yellow sticky traps. They can also come in blue, too. And not Bluetooth, but blue. They're very attractive to some species of insects. And they're quite commonly used in commercial greenhouses as a way of tracking insect populations so that they know when to spray or not to spray.
So they can determine by how many...
But you count how many are in those little squares.
And when it gets to a certain level, you know it's time for you to do some treatment as well.
Right, yes.
Wow. So there's a lot of different types of things growing in here. Anything you want to maybe just point out to us that you see that...
Well, I noticed we have a couple large figs in here, some of the... a lot of bromeliads that are around. You were pointing out the Spanish moss, which is a bromeliad. And all those are, the bromeliads, in fact, are related to the pineapple. A lot of people don't think of a pineapple as bromeliad, but it's the edible part of the family.
Wait a minute. Normally those things sort of attach to something else, right? And
right.
Grow
they,
hanging
right.
up.
Up on things.
Right. But well, a pineapple, wouldn't it just...
They grow those in the ground.
Okay. I was thinking if there's, you know... It's like
nice, warm, tropical climates.
Yeah. And this is what you get here when you have sort of a warmer climate. You can have different types of plants and larger ones growing here as well. Now, behind you is the poinsettia. How is that possible?
Well, it's a leftover from Christmas.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. The new poinsettias hold on to their leaf, the leaf brackets. In fact, the red is the leaf bracket itself. And the true flower has fallen off. There are little yellow things that are very peak of the plant, but they've fallen off. But the leaf brackets have remained, and they will so for many, many months on these new varieties that we happen to have.
Now, Craig tells us the sure sign in the spring is when he starts seeing the mulch bag show up at the local gas stations as well, right?
Yeah, they've shown up. You know, that parrot over there is really...
What's wrong with it?
It's better than a holler monkey, though.
Let Echo be a part of our show this
well,
morning.
Well, so. Charles admitted he's never done a show with a parrot before. Have you done a show with a monkey before? You mentioned monkey.
No, not really.
Really? Well, there's two here.
Right. Well, so what are we getting ready to do other than... do some more snow shoveling. I thought maybe
I think that's what we're getting.
I guess we're, you know,
do some snow shoveling.
Well, I'm very concerned. I've got tulips coming up. People have daffodils coming up. Should we be concerned?
Not really. The snow is actually a nice insulator, and it might crush some things down. That can be a problem, but certainly the snow is a very good insulator, and with cold temperatures that might follow afterwards, and we've been in the 20s. Actually, these couple days that have been open have been probably harder on plants than a snow day. The snow is actually very beneficial. And it's a way of, actually, what would really be nice if we had a nice thunder snow, but I don't think that's going to happen today, because in the thunder snow, you get a little extra nitrogen that gets fixed in the snow and actually fertilizes your lawn.
Is this because of some the electricity or something?
Yeah,
from the light and the thunder?
From the lightning, yes.
Okay.
Not the thunder, just the lightning part. But that helps some... I don't know if people have ever noticed that when they shovel snow, especially on the side of the lawn, and you had to have done it a little bit sooner. We didn't have much snow this year. You'll actually see your kind of the edge of the driveway area kind of green up a little bit more where you've put down snow, you know, piled it up a little. Well, what you've done is just concentrated the nitrogen that's been caught in the snow.
So when that melts, that gets into the
fertilizes
soil.
Fertilizes the grass.
Wow. Right.
And actually makes it a little bit greener in that area.
Of course,
area.
That makes up for the other chemicals that get put on the roads that kill half the yard that you end up...
And maybe that brings up a point, too, that we should think about. Be careful where you're using salt right now. If you have some stuff coming up, go lightly with the salt or use one of the calcium-magnesium salts as a better alternative if you have some plant material.
Great. You know, with this mild weather, we've seen some bugs outside, and I've seen signs, too, for beekeeping classes.
Right.
Yes. What's the state of bees? Now, we've heard that bees took a hard hit in recent years.
Right, and you're talking about honeybees. Ever since about 95, their populations have declined significantly. There was recently a study that came out from the University of Vermont just about 2 weeks ago looking at the native bees across the United States, and it shows a major decline out in the Pacific Northwest and kind of out in the Midwest area, the Iowa, Minnesota, southern Wisconsin, Illinois area, where there's been a tremendous loss of what are called native bees. These are solitary bees, and they've been decimated fairly well. There goes our bird flying around. It's going to attack you now. It's our killer bird. It's down there going after your
walking
foot.
He's walking by my shoes, and now he's under. Maybe he wants to come up under the microphone come over to see you, Charles.
Hungry. He's going to go for a bagel.
Oh, perhaps. Oh, yeah. I should mention that we want to thank Barry Bagels of Avon on Center Road in Avon. They have all sorts of great food there. Trays, everything is better on a bagel. They brought the bagels this morning and some coffee here for our guests as we broadcast from the Miller Nature Preserve as we spotlight Avon. March, when I think of this for gardening, is like you always tell me this is maybe a good time to do some pruning and cleaning up.
Yeah,
and stuff
this
like
is
that.
An excellent time to get into pruning. And, tomorrow won't be, but as the weather clears up again, certainly we can get in, do a pruning of our apples, pears, peaches, and any of our ornamental plants right now. This is an excellent time to do that all the way up until early part of June to do most of your pruning. And the important thing is take out dead, diseased, and broken branches first and kind of remember the 20% rule. Try to, in any other branches, once we get up to about 20% of the material out of the tree, stop, because if you over-prune, you can actually overstimulate growth on a plant, and that can be detrimental to your, plants that you have.
That's what you find out, especially if you have a plant that maybe you move into a home that has some weird cuts. You can tell where they were pruned because if you prune, you cut it once, it grows twice, right?
Right. Does the witch's broom. And essentially, I'm pruning, we're either in a thinning out cut or a heading back cut. The thinning out cut is where you go all the way down to the ground and just leave a little one bud left, basically, and that'll come up as a whole new stem. Whereas up on top, if you just whack it off, you'll cause this, witch's broom effect.
Witch's broom, as you call it, right.
Effect, which is, that's essentially a heading back type cut, but it causes bushiness within the plant itself. But if you do it up too high, it gets too bushy, and it doesn't really look right.
Right.
So proper pruning is very important.
You talk about pruning, trimming back. Now, I should have trimmed it back in the fall, probably a mum plant.
No.
Could I still do it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
In fact, leaving them up during the winter is the best thing to do.
Really?
Because it actually catches snow and leaves, actually more leaves this year than snow. It helps insulate them. And then the weather.
I didn't know that.
So, you didn't do it. You did something right by not doing something.
Huh. Okay.
For once.
Just leave it alone. That's what they say. Leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
Don't pick at it. Leave it alone.
You didn't get yelled at by anybody for doing that, did you? Or did you get reminded the other day?
No, I'm just looking at it. There it was,
Yeah. But if you have mum plants, certainly those can be pruned down now. You'll see the new growth starting to come along. You could feed them, and they'll do quite well for the summer. If you're doing any mums from around your home, once they've gotten up to about 4 inches, remember to pinch them back a little bit to get them to branch even more. And this goes back to our pruning to get a more, nicely branched plant, thus more flowers on it later on in the season.
That sounds good. Well, we appreciate you coming in this morning, sharing some of your good gardening advice as we get ready for another big growing gardening season. And the sooner you get to working on it, the less you'll be far behind of everything, right?
Yes.
But still, we have the frost-free date is what, May 15th?
About the 15th, 17th of May is really our truly frost.
Okay, so get excited about gardening, but not too excited.
Right.
Though, Craig, we are in sort of a tropical climate right now, so I'm getting excited and seeing all the green and some of the flowers that are blooming here at the Miller Nature Preserve. It is our North Coast BIA Spotlight on Avon.